Hi friends, I'm Marge, your host, and welcome to Just Checking In, a podcast capturing human connections, authentic conversations, despite our gaps in locations and time zones. Over here, we'll basically just chat about how we experience life, and for our first season, we'll ponder upon love, dating, and relationships during a pandemic. For this episode, I checked in with an auntie. A lot of people knows her as a sex-positive Asian auntie. We have Jada, and she's honestly like a long-distance sister to me at this point. Our relationship for the past years have been centered on working together, but this time around, we dug in a bit further and talked about our families, our dreams, and all the life transitions she's been experiencing at present. So let's go ahead and check in with her. I'm really happy that you have, because I know you're very busy these days. So really happy we made this work. Yeah, I wanted to check in with you first. How are you? I know there's like a lot going on your end. So yeah, just checking in. Wow, Ashley, just checking in. How are you? How are you these days?
I'm feeling really good these days. I feel like the last time we kind of chatted was around the time when I was ending my like Love is Liberation class. And since then, I've done a solo retreat, a group retreat. I'm actually not even in my own space. I'm visiting one of my best friends who I haven't seen in a very long time because pandemic and living far apart from each other. But I'm feeling very good about whatever's next. And I don't even really know what's next for me, you know, but I feel good about whatever's coming.
Yeah.
I also got a job offer at a sex toy shop. So I'm actually really excited about that.
Whereabouts? Like where you are right now?
Here in Orange County. So not too far from where I live, but I'm going to be working at a little sex toy store. And I'm like so excited to learn all the things.
You're going to be full-time on that one?
I'm going to be part-time, just part-time.
Yeah.
I moved back home with my parents, as you may know, I don't know if I told you that last time we hung out, but I was like walking, there's a sex toy store not too far from my house. And that's not the one that I'll be working at. But I walked in and I was like, why haven't I worked at a store yet? Like in my head, I was like, why? That just sounds like something I should be doing. And so I like try to look up some like queer friendly, you know, sex toy stores, because there are some out here that still kind of give off this like weird kind of like creepy vibe, some of them in the area. And so I was really looking for ones that feel welcoming, feel inclusive. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to learn.
So how did that go? You just walked in and like, do you guys have?
So I actually called around because no one had like, okay, finding a job at a sex toy store. Okay. That's the whole thing. There were like some postings that were kind of old of like looking for, you know, sales associates and stuff, but they felt so generic sounding and they didn't feel like up to date. And so I actually just called several stores and were like, are you hiring? Like, what's the deal? Like, what's, you know, the tea? And so some were able to kind of tell me like, oh, our location's not hiring. You should try this one. I know they're really looking for folks and things like that. So, and then I found like their application online that you have to download and did that, filled out very old school. Like I haven't applied for like a job like this in a long time. Usually it's like, here's your resume. And like for these bigger companies, but filled it out. I did end up printing a resume and like made it very like my sex positive Asian auntie resume basically, which was fun to do. And then I went in and then they met with me. And then we were like, you know, I know this is our official interview. We just really wanted to talk. And then did an official interview and then hired me on. So I hopefully start next week.
Oh, so you're starting next week. Wow. You're like,
hopefully.
Yeah. So like, how did that happen? Did you just like think, oh, like I want to like work on a shop, something like that?
I think it's been low key, like a thing that I've always been curious about because it sounds fun. Like, at least some shops that I've been able to visit in places like just feel like they host like educational workshops, you know, for the community. And a lot of like sales associates, like certain places, not all places, like are very knowledgeable and are basically, they're almost like frontline sex educators in my head, right? Like if you're really well-trained and depending on like the kind of store, the company that trains you, like generally speaking, like people who work in toy shops are educators to some degree, right? They're really telling you, giving you recommendations on what you might want to be exploring for yourself. And so I think that was a, like, this makes sense. Like this makes sense for me to be in this space. And I personally want to learn more about different toys.
Yeah.
Because there's always something new coming out. And I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know. Like I used some, but very minimally.
That's
I'm not a big toy person. So I'm like, let me just try this out.
Yeah, that's dope. Like I actually have never been in a sex shop, like sex, like toy. Yeah.
You gotta find one.
There's a lot, but I don't know. Like I remember when friends, like older friends, like would ask me to just like go, but I wasn't allowed yet because I was not at that age yet. But now that I'm at that age, no friends anymore. No, it's just like, it's pandemic.
Yeah, it's honestly, that's still it. So the other reason, the other bigger kind of like long-term reason too, is like I have a small like dream of opening up my own shop in Thailand. And I don't know what that looks like. It's technically toy stores are illegal in Thailand, or selling like toys of any sort, not just the store, but the toys themselves are illegal. And so, you know, that's a whole like years down the line kind of plan, but I would love to see that happen in Thailand, to actually have a store. I know that one shop exists, but for the most part, like it's kind of an underground market, because it's still, you know, just because something's illegal doesn't mean people don't do it. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I was going to say, ironic.
Same. That's a whole separate conversation. But
sure about that.
I know. Trust me. I have so many questions. But yeah, so I'm like, if I ever want to do that, it would be so cool to just have some experience of like what it is actually like, and especially like back end stuff around being in a store. So yeah. We'll see. Maybe one day.
We love yes, go off queen. We love to see it. No, but yeah, that's dope. Like I'm excited for you to share more, you know, online about when you start working on that store. Cause I've been talking with my sisters lately, and I've been wanting to do a part-time job as well. And I found myself like trying to just like hit up that like flower store. So like, I want to like arrange flowers because I want to do something with my hands. Like, you know, like the work that I do is just digital. Everything's in my head. And yeah, I'm just like, I need to do something with my hands. So it's like, I'm thinking like pottery or like flower arrangements. Like these are things that brings me joy. So I'm just like be hitting up, you know, all these stores. And like,
yes,
and I were talking about like, just having a business and maybe like, you know, like a farm or like a cafe with like a flower store, like very, you know, like that vibe. And we were just like, okay,
I see it.
That's our retirement plan. Like, that's it.
I love it. Dude, my second option would be like a plant store.
Yeah.
That just sounds so nice to be taking care of plants all day.
I know. It's like a wake up and then, you know, like someone will buy like flowers. Okay, I'd recommend just this. Like, who are you like getting it for? And like, oh, I'm like, yeah. And we were like thinking, because all of us now are like into like BTS and K-pop, which I don't know how that happened. I'm just like mind blown. I'm really grateful because now I'm just like not the only one in our group chat. It's just all about them. But so like funny. they have so many suggestions. They're like, oh, the cafe should be like an opa cafe. Like that's our selling point. Our staff will just be opas. And then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna hire. I'll, you know, like it should pass my vibe. Like that's our selling point. But yeah, like that's dope. I'm glad. Yeah, I'm excited for you about like that shop. But I wanted to ask because I know there's a lot that has happened from Love is Liberation. You know, finishing that, and then you went on a road trip with your partner for weeks, and then now you're living with your parents. Is that
correct? I'm living with my parents. I'm living you're back living with my parents.
Parents, and then you had like some retreats. Too. Mm-hmm. Here you are now. I guess like my question is that what did you learn about like, you know, yourself in those different like huge stuff that happened to you the past
in the different transitions. Yeah. You know, there's been several things, but one thing that like connects all of it right now is, for me, I'm really thankful that I gave myself the space to be present in my transitions. And what I mean by that is, like, I literally set my vacation responder on June 1st, the day I knew that I, you know, had to move out of the Bay and then start all, you know, start my road trip, start this retreat, and start moving back home. But I set my vacation responder, I'm sure you noticed, for like three plus weeks or something, and really told myself, like, you don't need to take anything on. Like, you can honor the commitments you've already made that are minimal, right? And so I did not take on calls or meetings during that time, unless it was like, felt very, very, very aligned what I was doing. And then for the most part, I just, this month, I've just given myself the time to, like, there's no rush to get back into work mode. I work, you know, because I work for myself, it's like, you can just be and feel this kind of like all this, these moving parts and big transitions that are happening for you, just like exist in it, you know? And like, and I think that's, it's a privilege, and it's also so fucking necessary, because I can't imagine having to, you know, if I were working a regular job right now, or just in a space where I couldn't kind of pause my work stuff or disconnect a little bit. Even, you know, was less on social media, so I wasn't absorbing a lot. I was literally just like kind of hanging out with my parents, moving stuff. On the road trip, I was hanging out in nature and being with my partner without like having to record all of it, or, you know, like, again, take on the outside world. So I think that's like the thread for me of like how necessary, like, my learning experience, like, I knew that I needed to do that, but I wasn't quite sure why I needed to, like, or like my, and I said the vacation responder thing on your email, because a lot of people don't do that. People work, especially people who work for themselves, they're never really off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure you felt that with, you know, taking your birthday month, setting time with yourself there. But I was like, yeah, that was a big deal for me to do it for that amount of time and really honor that time to myself. So that was a big learning. I was like, we need to be doing that regularly.
Yeah.
Like, we need to regularly set our, like, 5 p.m. I'm out of the office. I will not respond. You know, like, I'm done, like, done for the day. Please don't email me. Right. Yeah. Or whatever your time clock is. So that was a big one. And I think the other thing is just like moving back and living with my parents again. And it's been like almost like 8 years since I've lived in the same space with them. Right. And my parents and I don't have a toxic relationship at all, but with family, it's always kind of hard, you know, like, to, as an adult, to learn each other again. And so I think I'm just learning about my parents more and learning about who they are outside of being just my parents and like being actual humans, you know, and that's been really nice too. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the whole like clock out thing. It's so funny because we actually did it at the same time. So I'm just like, no problem, no worries. Like, you know, I'm going to be also off the grid anyway. Like, I literally, and I don't know, like, did you also feel the same? But like for the whole month, because whole month of June, I did not take any emails or calls. Like, I was literally like, you know, out. I did not even check like my DMs. Like, I was just looking at my phone and like the notification button just like goes up every single day. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like,
same.
I'll come back, you know, by July. But did you ever like feel the same? Did you have like those tendency? Because I did, where you just like have the tendency to like check because you had like, you know, like that free time, like on that certain day. Because of course, like on that month break, right? Like, we did stuff, we had to do stuff, but there are days where it's just like literally, you know, just be with ourselves, whatever, and you have nothing on your calendar, and then that free space, you're like, maybe I should do something with this time. Maybe I should do like, just like check maybe one or two. Like, I just like have those moments as well.
Totally. I would like notice them and I would see them, but I wasn't in a space to respond.
Yeah.
And then that's when I would feel guilty, where I'm like, even though I'm seeing this, like, I don't have the capacity or desire right now to say anything back. And I think that was challenging for me. And it almost like really, it made me think about like this like false sense of urgency that I think we all operate from and shouldn't be. Because it's like, really, yeah. Why is it so serious?
Yeah.
Like, if it's really not an emergency, why is it so serious for us to feel the need to like respond right away? And then on the flip side, I think part of it was like, oh, I didn't want them to think that I was ignoring them. And I'm like, that too doesn't feel like, one, do they really care? Two, if they're that kind of person, like, I don't know if I like that either, right? Like, I don't want to be the person that's taking, I don't take anything personal if someone doesn't respond to me ever or responds to me like 5 days later or something like that. And I don't always know if that's how I'm going to be received, but I like to hope that that's the culture that I want to be like creating. And then that means I have to embody it myself too, you know?
Yeah. It's a hard one. I mean, like, I'm still learning, but I feel like also I have, you know, like I've grown in that department with like the everything. So I definitely like feel you about that. But with your parents though, I wanted to ask, because it's been 8 years and, you know, like you said, you have a healthy relationship, but I was wondering if it's the same again for you, like whenever you're in your household, which are like under the same roof with your family, are you treated like, not like, as almost as if like you're not an adult, like as if like you're a child, because you're their child. You know, like, is that the same for you?
Sure.
Like that for us, like we can be all, you know, like independent, having our own space here, whatever. Mm-hmm. Once we come back home, it's like you're that kid that they raised, and you know, like they talk like
sure.
Like after, yeah.
Yeah. Like that. That's so funny. That's a good question. I think what I've noticed is, well, one, my mom feeds me. So in that way, yes. And I'm very grateful that she feeds me. She absolutely will prepare my meals for me.
Oh yeah.
It's great. I'm here for it. I'm super grateful for that part. What I've noticed actually where, and I guess we do tend to do this to kids, is that like there's a lack of boundaries around space still, where my mom like just opens my door. I just like has no, my dad doesn't do that. My dad knocks and because he's a girl maybe, or like a daughter, or my dad is just a little more respectful about that. But my dad will not do that. He knocks on the door. And if I say something, you know, but my mom like will open the door or like, you know, just, and I'll be on a call or something. And I'm like, mom, like this is, you know, so I don't know if that's like a child thing or just like a straight up boundary thing that we got to still establish. There's definitely like, because I have my car with me, my dad's, you know, able to get on me about my car now and how much I don't wash it or don't take care of it. So there's like those little small things too. But I don't know if they're, it doesn't feel like I'm being babied, but the dynamic is like, yeah, I'm definitely their daughter.
Yeah. You know?
And yeah. So there is this like, I feel like I need to tell them when I'm leaving the house and kind of give them an idea of when I might be coming back. Like it's not the same where I'm asking for permission by any means, but it's just like, hey, heads up, like I'm going to not be here.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So there's that for sure.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Like, and this is
yeah. I'll say, what about you? Yeah.
Asian, you know, children out there, like these are all really, but like food though, honestly though, I just come home like once a month for the food. Like I'm like, can you like cook this for me? It's, I can cook all of those, like, you know, like I ask my mom for like how she cooks it and stuff, but it just hits different.
Oh my God, like, yes,
feed me. and I thought
no, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, with the room thing, like, that's so funny because, like, yes, everything you just said, it's just like, yes. Like, with the room, like, I remember, and there's even a meme about that where your parents would just, like, go in your room and then there's, like, a relative or someone that they know and they'd be just like, oh, this is, like, March room, like, you know, and then you're, like, all of a sudden in this fucking show. Like they're showing it to people. I'm like, huh?
Dude.
What is going on? And like you're caught up.
It's so true.
Like they just show off.
Yeah.
That's funny. But I definitely relate to that. But you know, we can laugh about all of these things, you know, with just like our household. But I wanted to ask, if have you ever had those hard conversation, you know, with your parents, because they, of course, you know, I'm just assuming, but they have a lot to, you know, unlearn as well when it comes to, you know, like stuff. And for you with the work that you do, yeah, I wanted to know if you've had those types of conversation where you have to kind of, I don't know if correct them or, you know, like tell them, yeah, like mm-hmm. open this conversation.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so interesting. I think this question is like perfect for how I'm explaining to people like why this transition to living with my parents feels so big for me. Mm-hmm. And it's because when I say that we're learning who we are as adults, it's also that they're learning who I am mm-hmm. and what I represent in the world, how I'm moving in the world, what I'm trying to create. Like, you know, not only have I been gone for 8 years, which sure I change a lot in 8 years, but it's more that like they know me as their, you know, the little kid daughter and stuff. And because of like my past childhood trauma that I've experienced, not because of my parents, but family dynamics in general, and some of it that you're aware of, I hid a lot from my parents to help them feel like I was fine. Right. So whatever like trauma that I experienced, I put on a front, like throughout most of my life, throughout high school, throughout college, of just like, I'm totally fine. Like, yeah, that thing happened to me, but like, I'm good. You know, like I'm functioning. I graduated high school. I got my college degree. I went, you know, and things like that. And for basically most of my life, it was me kind of shielding who I was from my parents because I needed them to think that I was perfectly okay. And what that meant that I was really hiding even the good parts of myself. Like I was hiding a lot about who I was, who Jada is, you know? And so coming back home, you know, before coming back home, like I've been in therapy for 2 years now, longer with like different therapists, but like with the specific therapist, like at least 2 years. And a lot of the conversations I've had with her is around like me and my fear of letting my parents know who I am. Just like, literally about anything, like, cause they don't know me. They don't know like the work that I do. They don't know my relationships. They don't really know my political view. They know nothing about me besides that I am their daughter and I am alive, you know? And like, you know, and I'm fine. Like, I'm like, you know, like they know very little, like they might know what I like to eat, like,
yeah.
But they don't know me, right? Like how I move in the world. And so done a lot of work because of therapy leading up to this moment of being able to live with them and also be honest when, you know, like where I'm going or what I'm doing or what I believe. And so being home and that when it comes to like these tough conversations, for me, the tough conversations aren't like conversations of calling my parents out or having like conversations around, I don't know, abortion or something. Like that's not what it is. Yeah. It's more like, oh, I now can say the word sex in front of my parents. Like that is huge in the family that I grew up in, right? Like to normally say the word sex, you know, is big. To tell my mom that I applied to a job at a sex toy store is a big fucking deal. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
What? Like tell me 1 year ago that I would be saying this to my parents. Never, never in my life, right? Like we are not the type of people that ever talked about this. We've never talked about relationships, never talked about sex, like hell no. And so to get to this point where I'm literally telling my mom, like, oh yeah, I applied for a job. She's like, where? At a sex toy store, you know, like sell toys. And she, my mom had a, like, I was like, you know, kind of like those lingerie stores, because that's sometimes what they like look like on the outside. And she's like, oh, okay. I was like, yeah, I'll show you one day. We'll go. We'll visit. Yeah. Like, you know. Yeah. So I think it's more that, and definitely having conversations, like little things here and there around queerness when it comes up, and just kind of. And it really, to me, it's not, I don't look at these as teaching moments at all. I look at them as just like, I'm trying to get to know my parents' views because I, you know, also I'm trying to learn where they're at. But yeah, just these really small ways where I'm not trying to, I don't know, I'm not trying to minimize like what goes on in my day just because of our language barrier, which is big for me and my parents, or just because I think that they won't understand. And I'm just like, no, this is what I did today, you know, or this is what I'm doing with my classes, like trying to explain what my parents, like what being a sex educator is. Like I had a moment with my mom and she was like, so do a lot of people need help with the sex stuff? Because she was worried about me, like, you know, not having a job and all that stuff. I'm like, actually, I'm teaching these classes and I'm doing pretty well and all that, you know, kind of explaining. And she's like, do people need a lot of help with this stuff? And then I was like, they kind of do, Mom. They kind of do.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I was like, and then I, you know, that led into me saying like, well, when you think about it, like you and I never had conversations about sex growing up. Right. And so a lot of the people that I work with are also living in the same, you know, have had the same experience where they grow up not learning information or learning about their body. And so I don't know if I use the word like shame or anything in there, because I don't know if that makes sense to my mom, but you know, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those are the kind of conversations I'm having.
Wow. Right now. Wow. I'm just like having all of this. I'm just like, wow, because you know, like my reaction, just because I assumed, I guess like Asian folks who grew up in the States, I assumed that you're like the dynamic of, you know, families of those kids are more liberated than we are. And then here you are telling me that you didn't talk about like sex or relationships, and here I'm being in our like what, like 20s or whatever, and then like you know, I'm just like, yeah, like wait, what, we're the same? Like, and then I think
we're the same.
Yeah. And then I think, why do we not, you know, like do that, you know, in, I guess like in Asian households, we just, and then I'm just like, yeah, we don't talk. We just eat. We don't talk. We eat together.
We eat together.
But we're not, yeah, like we don't do the whole, like, how was your day, son? How was your day, daughter? Like, what did you do in school? No, like what matters is if we are passing, you know, the grades in school, like other
let me feed you to keep you alive so that you can go get a good grade. Like,
that's
the cycle, so that you can then get a good job. Like,
that's all that matters. So it's funny when you said that they don't actually know you. They just know that you're alive and, you know, you're doing your whole thing. Because I feel that's the same. Like, yeah, that's enough for them. Like, they're always like, I've always wondered, thinking like, why don't they like ask what I do, or you know, but because it's so ironic, like a lot of my friends, their parents are actually more, you know, like in control, like wanting to, oh, like you should do this or that. Like in our family, like it's not like that, which I'm really like happy actually about. It's like the dynamic is like,
same,
as long as you're alive, you know, do what you need to do. And as long as we see that you're good, you're alive, like that's it. So I think that's pretty interesting. Like that it's the same, and with the
whole, that's exactly like my parents.
Yeah. And I'm actually like, I'm happy that it's like that, the dynamics, because then actually in our family we're all doing like creative stuff, which is, you know, like when you talk to other Asian like families, they're like, no one's in the medical field or like this is that, like, no, do that. You know, like all of us, you know, one's a writer, one's a graphic designer, one's a, you know, like an editor.
Very cool.
Yeah, like they just like let us do that. And I wanted to share about the hard conversations, because I feel like I'm in the same like space with you, with like learning more about like our families and our parents. I remember this one moment just before I was about to move out, and they were all in my room. So my mom, my dad, and my youngest sister, they were in my room because they were helping me like pack and stuff. And I think because my father co-owns an apartment next to our house, and there was like a sexual harassment or assault that happened in the apartment. They were talking about that, and then I just heard, because I was in the toilet, and then like my dad was talking about how come, somewhere along the lines, like how come the kid, you know, told us about this like months later, like, you know, like that. And then I heard my sister, my youngest sister, like literally was just like, but that's not her fault though. You understand that that's not her fault. Like that's a kid you're talking about, and you know, like you should believe and like, you know, be on like that. And then I was just like so shocked. Like my sister, like, don't talk like that. Like she's like the most quiet like in our family. And then I just like heard her talk about like that. I'm like, oh shoot, now I gotta walk in this conversation. And then I guess I gotta back up my sister, right? And then yeah, I mean, like, actually the conversation went on, and then I also like added, you know, my my piece of two cents, and actually went well. Like, I was so I guess like it was like a proud moment, like, you know, for them to make them understand what's actually, you know, going on. And then like there's also like other parts where I come home and then my mom would always just be like, we'll have those comments like, you gain weight, like that's, you know, like that's normal,
yeah,
you know, in their families. And now before you will just brush it off and then you like laugh about it, whatever. And now I'll just like reply, you actually gain more weight than me, like look at you, like so like there's yeah, and then like I think like they get the message from there of like that's not actually cool.
Yeah,
and I remember there was another one because I don't wear bras anymore. I don't know, since like yeah, like for years now I don't. And then like there was a moment that they noticed and they're like, oh, you're not, you know, like why are you not wearing like any bra, like you should, you know, do this, whatever. And then I told them, well, and then I said, why? And then they're like, because people are gonna, you know, like to call you.
Yep.
Call you. And I'm like, but that's not my problem. Like, that's actually them. You understand that, right? So like, there's like those conversations.
I still need to have that conversation with them.
Yeah, like, but that's not me though, like that's them who has a problem. Mm-hmm. Like it's not my body. So yeah, like, you know, these conversations, it still blows my mind that, you know, we're having them already with like with my parents. So I actually didn't even plan to talk about like these topics.
We just like natural
went forward.
Totally.
I'm glad. And actually I do wanted to check in with you about, you know, like I said, like love and relationships, like that's all about, you know, like what you do. And I don't want to get a little bit personal with you, because I just wanted to know what your constellation, wow, now I'm using this constellation.
The word.
What's your current constellation at the moment? Because I have no idea. I just see, you know, like who's your partner and stuff, but I don't know anything about your love story. What's your dynamics?
Sure.
Who even is your partner? I just know they're a DJ, that's all. If you could let me in and tell me about
my constellation.
Yeah,
that's a great question. I think it's also kind of hard, like it's always so fluid for me too sometimes. I'm like, I don't know, but not in a bad way. So the way that I operate in terms of the structure, I consider myself solo polyam. So like solo polyamory is what my relationship structure looks like, where I am my like number one partner and everyone else is just extra, really good extras, but like bonuses for me. And when I say everyone else, I have one partner. And we're playing with the term anchor partner right now because we feel like each other's kind of emotional anchors. We've been seeing each other for like 3.5 years now. It feels very solid, like a very solid relationship. And then I also have my best friend who feels like my life partner because she feels like she's going to be in like, we're going to be each other's lives forever, even if we like probably don't want to. Most likely we want to, you know, like it just... She is a very core part of my survival in the world, if you will. And so she feels like a life partner to me. We haven't like made official with those terms, but we kind of say that. Mm-hmm. We call each other wifey.
Yeah.
So like we're just this like married couple without being married, you know? And she dates other people and I date other people. And there's no sexual relationship there, but that we're going to be there for life. And then there's like elements where like I have a creative partner, Haley, which you know where I feel so energized by her, and like she's a really big part of just why I do what I do as well, like a huge supporter of mine. And so those feel like really all really significant relationships for me right now that I can, I guess, share and talk about. And then right now my anchor partner and I are in a long distance relationship because I'm in California and he's in a different state. And so navigating kind of that is new for us because we've always lived by each other, accessible to each other. And I think the nice thing about being solo poly or being non-monogamous is like I get to do my thing in a way that I still prioritize myself.
I'm sure when this episode is out, like, it's already out. And I'm just happy yes. to be part of that process. And I remember there's one piece where he said that this is kind of like the healthiest relationships, you know, like that you've been. And I wanted to ask mm-hmm. what shifted, like, how did you get there?
Oh my God, that took years.
Yeah.
It took years to understand what was needed of me, like what I needed. It took years to understand what I needed. It took years to understand what I'm capable of. It took years to actually learn the tools to get those needs met and communicate them, right? Like, I think it's just years of relating to other people or being in relationships with other people, and but like monogamous or dating or flings or situationships, you know, and then also watching a lot of other people, right? And really yeah. thinking about, like, what is it that I actually want in my relationships? Like, what do I really need? And I think one of the, I guess it's hard to pinpoint one thing, like, how did I get here? But a lot of it too, at least why this relationship that I'm in right now with my anchor partner, his name's Eli, why it works for both of us, a lot of it's timing. Mm-hmm. And when I say timing, it's like where he was at in his phase of his life and where I'm at in my phase of my life really fit together. Mm-hmm. And we were not healed. I will say that. And so that whole thing, like, you got to heal yourself before you get into, yeah. you know, it's going to show up in your relationship. And it's like, yes. And your shit's going to show up in a relationship all the time because you're never healed.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, you're never just, yeah, that doesn't happen. It's going to come up. Right. And it's, do you have a relationship that's strong enough to navigate through that?
Mm.
And so I think when we met, we were both still like dealing with our own individual things, but we were willing to learn each other. And at the same time, like, we were not seeking someone to solve each other's problems. Right. And I think in the past, a lot of it, you know, in my past relationships, it's like, oh, I'm going to be the person that's going to help you heal your shit, you know, or like vice versa. And this was not the case for us. We were at a point in our lives individually where even as we met, we're like, I gotta take care of some things. And like, I'm a mess. Like, both of us probably like, I'm a mess right now,
yeah.
but I still really like you and you're really right. cute. Like, you want to be messes kind of like together, but not share our mess, you know, like mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there was still this like purity in like, oh, I really like you though. Right. And I don't want to like stop anything or prevent anything just because I'm a mess right now. Not that
right.
we were not that bad, but we were still dealing. I don't think that we were in the place that we are now with our healing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had his therapist, he was building his emotional support network of friends and people. And so was I. And I think our, like, my, from the beginning, I told him, like, you know, I'm trying to explore non-monogamy and these are the reasons why. And as I've grown in my non-monogamy, so has, you know, so is he and so have we together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say, like, because we're both kind of navigating non-monogamy and solo polyamory from a lens that, like, we're not each other's sole support,
mm-hmm.
that means that we each have the individual freedom to build really, really strong bonds with other people outside of each other.
Mm.
Like, really good ones. And so that too, I think, is like another reason why I think we're so healthy mm. is because we don't rely on each other constantly.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not, yeah, it's just, there's been so many times where I'm like, I can't be the person right now to have that conversation with you or hold you in that way. You know, I can do these other things, but I don't think I can do this
yeah.
or, you know, I can't do this right now. And so we each have our own individual, like, ways of getting our needs met, even if, you know, we can't always be there for each other. So I think that's a big reason of how, like, yeah, timing.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, it's just timing is a big part, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. And the willingness for us as individuals to commit to our own healing, mm-hmm. like our individual healing.
And I feel like what I'm hearing is that the dynamic that you're in, it requires a lot of honesty, but then like you should just be like that on a daily basis anyway.
Yeah. right. Yes.
Right. It's just going to be easier if you communicate that way. Yeah. But what I wanted to ask, because I know, because there's just like so much, you know, like to learn from you when it comes to love and relationships. I wanted to know if, what are the insecurities that you have still that you're kind of, they feel like holds you back? Because I don't know, like I feel like online, you know, you talk a lot about these empowering messages, but Jada, what's going on? Like what makes you like what are you still
feeling? So funny.
You know, tell us.
Sure. Yeah. So in my relationships around romantic love, I don't feel like I'm actually pretty fucking confident in that area right now. And I think it's because I've spent so many years trying to get here, right? Trying to get to this place of like, what is actually healthy? How do I state my needs? How do I remain in my truth, even when it might be hard, right? How do I even know when my insecurities are coming up? And how do I not project them onto the people that I'm in relationship with? Nice. That's a big one, right? Because I think the insecurities are going to be there. And so I think right now, like, I don't have a lot of insecurities with my romantic relationships because we've done so much work already to get to the place that we are now. And I'm sure it'll come up. And I think my insecurities right now have to do more with, like, dealing with my family stuff. My fears right now have to do more with my family and being transitioning in that way. And it's not showing up in my relationship, in my like romantic relationship that much at this point, which I'm fortunate of. And it might, like, again, somehow something might happen. There's small parts where, because we're long distance right now, I don't have fears of us like meeting other people and how, you know, whatever. It's more like if we were to meet other people and grow a relationship, like a deep emotional connection with other folks, like there's some part of me that's nervous about like the tension that could come up for us. And like, I'm like, it's going to be hard to talk about it. It's going to be fucking hard. Like there's no way around it. And so my hope is that like, because we love each other and because we're committed, we're going to work through it. That's the faith part, you know, of like, I could still be insecure about it. It might fucking happen. Like he could meet somebody out there and who's more accessible than I am right now. And whatever, but I'm like, but I think that we've built enough of a foundation where like, all right, it's going to be fucking hard. Like jealousy's going to come up, right? Like some trauma shit might be triggered. And because we love each other and we're, you know, feel like we trust each other, then we're going to move through it. Mm. You trust that we're going to move through it. And so, yeah.
True.
I don't know if that answers directly, but
no, it did. Like I didn't mean it to just like focus on your like relationship anyway, so I'm glad to know that a lot of more of, you know, like your fears right now, this, you know, with your family transitioning, and actually needs me to, because you're not going to be there for long.
No, I'm not,
but everybody knows at this point you're moving to Thailand, and I wanted to check in with that. I have so many questions. First of all, yes, please. I'm just like, you know, like calendar, you know, like just ticking off like the date. But when are you again actually like moving? End of the year, is it?
So it really depends on the COVID situation and how comfortable I feel. But my goal is the end of this year. If that can't happen, maybe beginning of next year. I'm really not trying to wait until spring. Like I want to do this in the winter, basically. I want it like our winter and move out there. So there's no like set date. It's just kind of, I'm on, you know, trying to pay attention to COVID restrictions and how difficult it might be. Like if I go there right now and like just sit in a box, you know, for months, and it's kind of iffy. So we'll see. Yeah.
What's the border protocol right now with them?
So just like 2 days ago, they closed off even domestic travel, maybe. I think, or I don't know if like certain districts are more strict right now than others, because Bangkok, I'm hearing most of the news coming from Bangkok. And so Bangkok itself is very, very restricted right now. Mm. But at the same time, in other districts down in the beaches, they're trying to open up for foreign tourists. So it's kind of like weird. Yeah. So it's like Bangkok, you're not allowed to go anywhere, you right. know, or like domestic travels, you have to go through checkpoints and things like that. And yet there's the Phuket sandbox model where they're allowing tourists to come in and stay in Phuket for 14 days without having to quarantine in a hotel.
Yeah.
But you have to stay in Phuket before you go into any other place. And so it's really, really interesting.
Actually, it's the same for us.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Like Manila, the central, you know, like business district, more restricted. But we can actually, or even tourists can go to like all the beaches and stuff. That's why a lot of us here can like, you know, have like the vacation thing now. Like people can, those like areas like in the province are actually like roaming because they don't have as much as cases as in the city.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm excited. I think everyone's excited about that. I wanted to ask, when did all of this came about? Like, how did it all kind of like, I moved to Thailand.
I can actually talk about some, but there, I do have an insecurity or fear that's come up about transitioning too. But I've been wanting to do this for years. I think every time that I have visited, I'm always like, yeah, I could live here, you know, but never really saw it as a possibility. Until maybe over 3 years ago, I think before I met my partner, I kind of said it out loud once. I was like, I don't know, maybe I'll move to Thailand. Cause someone asked me, how long have you been in the Bay? You know, are you trying to like stay here forever? And you know, if you know me, like the kind of person, I'm like, nothing's forever. So like, I don't really know where I'm going to be next. And I was like, maybe I'll move to Thailand. I don't know. And then when I said it out loud, I was like, actually, yeah, I should move to Thailand. And so I really, I started just kind of thinking about it more and thinking about like what that could look like, what that meant. And then once the reason I finally decided was it's a couple of things. One thing is also my parents are getting older, and in the last few years under the Trump administration, and not just the Trump administration, but just like looking at, you know, the state of the United States in general, like it's been really hard to think about my parents like retiring in a country that doesn't care for them. You know, it just feels like when I think about like my last days and how I want them to be, like it just wouldn't be in this country like that hates black and brown people, you know, like, and that doesn't care about immigrants and only cares about them as a source of labor. And the truth is that my parents can't afford to retire in California, which is the only place that they know, in Southern California, right? If they wanted to still stay in the United States, they'd have to move to another state, which is like, why? Like, you know, like something that's already unrecognizable to them. Like they're not attached to the United States. They're attached to this home that they built in California, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just started planting the seed of like, okay, what if I'm going to go. Like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to figure out how to build my life there, build my business from there so that I can maybe help them retire at some point. A lot of it is like all of us, like, can I afford to also live here in the United States? Do I want to? Like, is this where I want to be contributing to? And so I think that's really like COVID really kind of solidified like, all right, it's time for you to really make the move.
Yeah.
Like it's time for you to make the plan to be in Thailand for as long as you can. Yeah.
What's the situation going to be like with your, I don't know, because for us here, I'm just like thinking visa or like what, you know, like, are you going to stay just as a tourist or like, what's the
situation? Both of my parents are Thai, which means that I can also apply for Thai, like a Thai birth certificate / Thai passport situation.
Right.
Yeah. So I will have not an easy time. Like, I don't think it's like, you know, blink of an eye, but because my parents are Thai, they're both born in Thailand. The issue for me to get a non-tourist visa and get like a citizenship of some sort, I think will be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else? But yeah. So Yeah, I think it'll be okay.
That makes sense, because I'm just like thinking from a perspective of like, I guess like us here and then like moving.
Yeah, how does that work?
It's either you study there, so you get like a student like pass, so you can like stay like a year long, and then you need to get a job. So then like, you know, like you need to do all these things. So like you need to earn it, but then like it makes sense for you because like both through your parents, and it's kind of just like a citizen, like, you know, thing. So that's good. That's good. And do you, I don't know, I'm just like thinking like this is kind of so you're thinking for a long term, right? So you're gonna stay for a long term, just like figure it out once you're like there. Is that kind of like
basically that's the plan, which most people's not a plan.
Plan
at all.
We're just gonna like plan. Dive, you know,
right? We're gonna wing it, you know. We're just gonna see what happens.
So what's your plan? The plan awaits, you know, like there. Like that's
I will hold the plan when I'm there. I'm sure I'm getting an itinerary when I land.
But what's your relationship to your homeland, actually, to Thailand? Because I know you grew up in the States, so
I'm born and raised in California, and so I think part of me going there too on a more like spiritual level is to also build a relationship with my homeland. Like, is it even my homeland, right? And I think, so this is where we get into like some of the insecurities I feel around being someone who's not born there, right? And doesn't have a I've visited throughout my life, but and I have family there. I do have my dad's side is all in Thailand, so there are folks there, but I'm not close to them, right? And I think those are actually questions that I'm trying to ask myself as I go. Like, what is my relationship to this land here, just Southeast Asia in general? What is my commitment to Indigenous people? Like, are my folks Indigenous to this land? Like, I don't even know that. Like, I don't truly know that, right? And those are questions that I have. And I think a lot of it too is like trying to find out my relationship to Buddhism. Is a big one. And just at the group retreat that I was in last week, when a fear that came up for me that I finally said out loud was that, like, I fear that as a Thai American person moving to Thailand, that I won't be accepted because not just of my Americanness, but like that my Americanness is part of the source of like this radical thinking that I have around sex, especially about relationships. I don't fucking know what polyamory will be translated in Thai. We don't need to go down that road, but just even the sex piece, to talk openly about sexuality and to teach people about sexuality, even in this country, in the United States, supposedly one of the most liberal, you know, countries in the world, is really, really hard, right? To be a feminist, openly sex positive here is already difficult. And to do that in Thailand, I don't know what it's going to be like. Maybe the struggle is the same, but that's one of my fears, is that like, oh, that I'm not, that I'm going against maybe a Thai culture or a conservative Thai culture that people might not be ready for. And so I'm nervous about that. I hope I don't get kicked out the country for trying to sell dildos. Like, that's my, like, I can picture it. I can picture
a headline. It's a headline. It's a story. You know,
it's a headline. I can see it now. Like,
yeah.
Why did they kick you out the country? Like, well, what happened was this vibrator went off in my house.
Yeah.
You know.
That. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm happy you shared that, because that's interesting that your fear is what I'm leaving, like, here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when we talked about you fear to, you know, like, how would you would be accepted with being a feminist and, you know, things they stand for. It's like, I'm living that here. And it's a matter of, well, first, like, finding your community, because a lot of people too think that, well, like, if you're in a third world country, of course, like, very conservative, right? Like, still to this day. But I guess, like, there's always that notion that it's as if you can't actually talk about it. It's as if people like this, but like, it's actually, you know, like I can say like it's, I don't know what it is like in Thailand, but I could say like for here in the Philippines, like it's actually like changing, you know, like yep. a lot of, especially our generation are a lot more outspoken about it. I think it's a lot more for the people that don't have access to it. So we're talking, you know, like the vulnerable like communities that were communities because they don't have like that education. And I like my family's home is actually on that area. Like I grew up in that area with those kids. So I find the struggle when I come back to that, because then when those conversations comes up, you can't talk about it the same way I talk about it in our circle. So yes. you need to like find the language and how you talk about this with the kids or the younger generation in ways that they don't feel, I guess, like intimidated like by the language and like how you teach them about that. So I feel like that's kind of like more of the challenge, but yeah, I'm excited for you. And I was thinking, because there's always that fear of being accepted. And Darlene and I actually talked about this like just like a few days ago, and she says like, oh, if being someone for you like Thai American, and for her Philam, it's either people will like you, like actually put you in the pedestal, or like are mean to you, like don't like you. And I was like thinking, yeah, it's either, it's always like that. And actually, like for me too, looking at Filipino Americans who moves here, I've always had that I guess like judgment about them. Like, okay, but like, what are you here for? You know, because there's definitely, I don't know if it's the same in Thailand. You tell me what you know about that. But here, like the Philams, they have like a certain like squad, like they're, because you know they have more money, and then there's like this like whole like they believing in like condominiums. Yeah. Like that's fine. Like you can afford it, but the way that I see their dynamics and the relationships and the community that they build here is just like, is not mirroring what being Filipino or I guess like what the home is not. But and yet they talk about Philippines and Filipinos as if it's that, you know what I mean? So like it become that representative that is not the appropriate, you know, like. And I think you have a lot to say about this too, because you know, like you've been talking a lot about this, and I don't know, I just like bat an eye on that, because I remember like, you know, these groups would be like, oh, like this is like what it's like living in the Philippines, and then they go to like a fucking, you know, like I don't know, like bougie Sunday market. Like, no, you go to like a fucking like wet market, it's gonna smell, and you know, everyone's like yeah, it's just different. So yeah, like I was thinking about that, about your move. I'm like, do you have a certain, because I'm like thinking, I don't want Jada to be like, what, to end up in that group, if there are even that mission in Thailand, you know what I mean? Like,
Yo, that's a good question, because interestingly enough, I don't know a lot of Thai American, I don't know a lot of Thai Americans, period. And there's a lot of Thai, lots of other countries, mostly like European countries who go, and I can kind of maybe see the similar dynamic, but I don't know. I just recently, over this a couple months ago, joined like a Thai Discord. So a bunch of Thai folks, like, and yeah, Thai diaspora essentially. And I'm learning about like a lot of our different experiences, but also a lot of really similar experiences, like growing up, going to temple, you know, like that's a big one apparently in the West Coast. And it doesn't feel like that kind of, they go back and it's this bougie life or whatever. What I see that happening most is just like foreigners in general in Thailand. That's a bit like whether the Thai foreign, you know, or not. But what's interesting is the reason, because I'm like not nervous, but something that I'm curious about too is I think my family in Thailand is more high so, what they call high so, like a little more elite. So I don't even think that it, and I think I'm poorer here, and like according, like right. you know, like we're like lower middle class in the United States, but in Thailand, I think my family in Thailand is higher class, which I don't know if that equals out, because I don't. But so that's what I'm more interested in or curious about, because, and the reason I say that is because one of my cousins, only one though, one of my cousins was able to afford to go to school in the United States and then come back to Thailand. And that's really common in Thailand. Mm-hmm. If you can get a Western education, you come back to Thailand and you're like your high soul.
Oh yeah.
Right. And that's right. Yeah. And so I see that as more common, like of a elite thing. And those are the ones living in the condos and stuff. And so, I mean, I'm hoping to find community for sure. And I really want it to not just be foreigners like myself or, you know, folks who are just are Thai American, Thai European or whatever. I think that's why I'm not as nervous about that piece and more nervous about this, like that cultural piece, right? Like, what are your thoughts on like what it means to be sex positive? What are your thoughts on sex workers? Mm. Like, that's a big one for me. Right. How people feel about sex workers in Thailand is going to speak volumes to me, no matter where they're from.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that's almost going to be my gauge around like, how do you feel about sex workers in the United States? You know, how do we feel about queer folks here? Like, those are going to be my measurements a little bit more than, yeah, like the bougie-ness of it all.
yeah, for sure. But mm-hmm. you keep me posted about that. And it's funny because I remember you shared these clips from YouTube where you're like, one of the reasons that you are excited about moving to Thailand is because like you see this, I guess like they're vloggers and they're all queer and, you know, like they just vlog their day to day and how they're just, you know, enjoying their life there. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, I'm living that life. I'm like, all my friends are like queer and like, we're just like the same thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited for Jada to just like,
me too.
Yeah. Again, you know, there's a lot to learn and still unlearn with the whole, I guess, like people being queer here, but we still get to actually, you know, like enjoy and live together.
Absolutely.
It's like so fun. Like, we even had a random get to like a pride celebration the other day. Aww. And it's just like, so yeah, it's fun to like be around like that community. So I hope, and I'm sure you will find your community in there. And definitely, I know that there's a lot of things that you're excited about this move, but I guess I wanted to ask one last thing, which is, do you think there's any parts of yourself that you need to break up with or let go once you do the move?
Once I move to Thailand, I think I know that I'm going to be breaking up with a lot of my westernized thinking and having to reconcile what is Western and what is me. Yeah, I think that's going to be a big one, and I'm okay with that. And I think, what else am I breaking up with? The letting go of, I think that's going to be a big one. Like, I don't know, right? Like, parts of me that are so, parts of this culture being American that are so ingrained in me that even to this day, I'm still unlearning, and I'm not even in Thailand. Like, I'm unlearning because of like all these lies that I've been taught about the United States. And so I think that's really what I'm looking forward to, but I know it's not going to be easy, right? Transitioning over there. And also like, examining my feelings about foreigners in Thailand, even as someone who is a foreigner as well, but you know, and navigating that. And so, because there's a lot of them, there's so
many. Oh, yeah,
there's so many.
I mean, we can even have like a weekly, you know, like a check-in chat to just like,
okay, we should. How do
you feel about the foreigners, because I you know, like navigate that. Like, every time, like, what do I feel about like these people? I have so much, you know, like thoughts. I don't really have, like we talk here and there, but not really like kind of reflect on it. I guess like to wrap up, to, you know, like this conversation, I wanted to ask if you can like wake up in Thailand, you know, like tomorrow already, like how do you envision your ideal day there? Like, what's Jada doing in Thailand?
Jada is waking up in her, I'm gonna be in a condo, no lie. I'm gonna be in a condo when I first get there.
I live in a condo, so
I'm gonna be there. I don't care what kind of condo, but I'm gonna be in a condo. I just want to be in my own space, so I'm definitely by myself. I wake up looking at my snakes. I'm hoping that they could go to Thailand with me. That's a whole different thing. So I hope that I'm waking up with my snakes, and I walk downstairs and I go to my usual noodle shop next to my condo or something, and the lady knows me by name and I know her, because we see each other every day, and I get to enjoy a bowl of noodles in this hot weather, which makes no sense, but it's still delicious. And then I just get to like walk around and take in all the smells and the sounds, because Bangkok is noisy, I actually kind of like the idea of being in Bangkok and the, like, what other people would say is the chaos of it. I love the busyness of Bangkok. And so my perfect day would be, after my noodle lady visit, to spend a day at the park. Yeah, spend a day at the park and hang out under some shade, because again, it's going to be hot. Yeah, just stroll around, walking at, just looking at vendors, because I just, I love seeing what people are selling and making and stuff. Yeah, I'm hoping to find definitely like spots to roller skate in. So that's going to be, I'm hoping that's not too hard.
Yeah,
to find some pavement and just spend my day like roller skating and stuff. Yeah, it's all about the food and wandering for me. Oh, yeah. That would be like my ideal day. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And you're going to be living that soon enough. It's funny because the way that you talk about it, it's like this, you know, like, I guess like a romantic picture in your head.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, you know, Bangkok looks like, and like the culture, the sound.
Yes.
It's like, it's not as romantic as like people would think, but like, it's,
no. Right?
Yeah.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Like,
you're talking
like
about the sound? The smell?
The smells and the sounds, they're not at all. And I think that's, I'm like, I think I'm like, you can't ignore them. And that's why I like that. Like, you can't
take it,
not notice it. You can, and the smells are warm. Like, it's so hot. Like, you're smelling something that also feels warm as you breathe it in.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's my ideal day. I'm very realistic.
Yeah. Once you go out, like, there's no going back. You have to take it in.
Yeah. Exactly. Once you leave your air-conditioned condo, like, done.
You're going to come back smelling something else. That sounds amazing. I appreciate you sharing all of these things and just like checking in with you where you're at. Again, a good lot, sounds like a lot, you know, happening, and I'm excited where you're going to be at, you know, being part-time at that sex toy store to moving to Thailand. I'm happy. I'm just happy that you're in a very, I feel like you're, you know, you're thriving and you're booming and you're like at your peak. So I'm happy to witness that and just be here as well, your journey. So thank you so much. Kumsamnida,
onni. I don't know what is any question. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to know. Okay. So I know that the Korean pop culture, specifically around BTS, is a whole nother world. I would like to know, let's see, how do I want to phrase this question? Is there a way to appreciate this K-pop culture world without being consumed into it? Because I'm curious, but I'm nervous. Is there a way to enjoy these artists without being, you know, all the way in? Is that possible?
I think what does it's that look possible, but I don't think I'm the best person you should be. So let me ask. Because I was aiming for that too. Like, I'm just getting, you know.
What was your journey like?
I got there. Like, I was just that. And then look at me now.
That's what I figured. And then I don't know where you're at now. Yeah. What was your
I was just there. And then I just got consumed. I feel like, you know, honestly, like, I was actually reading just about like this thread about that's actually their marketing, like how they market the K, which I got so existential, because it's emotional attachment what they're doing. And like the reason, actually, first of all, that I very much enjoyed the whole K-pop, the artists, even just the K-dramas, is because I feel like, the emotional side of it, because I didn't feel that, I guess, like in the, like the Western music, like Western music, I didn't relate to it. So when I actually, and I love to talk about this because a lot of people would be just, oh, like you like them, or because I don't know, because they're good looking. And again, you know, nothing, like you can like people or artists because they're good looking. But for me, what really got me into liking these artists is because the way that they're just all about, you know, like, I know it's cliche, but like loving yourself, like just being, like the vulnerabilities and the mess of being youth, and it's very healing for me, mm-hmm. and to even see Asian men like
yes.
talk about that. And yes. and there, and the thing is, you know, like you'll think, oh, maybe that's just their persona, right? Like that's what they do, that's their job. But they have other shows where they just travel, or you know, like really like off cam, mm-hmm. not as an artist, and you can really see their bond and how they can communicate their feelings. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the brotherhood where, you know, like you think in the West is just all about, you know, like yes. sex, drugs, yes. gross, whatever. Like yes. to them, when they're all together, they're like really, they make date nights.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They write letters to each other. They tell each other how, mm-hmm. you know, how much they appreciate each other. And they're just, yeah, it's just like very healing to see that. And I didn't see any of that again, you know, in other artists that I've been consuming before. And yeah, it's just very healing for me. And now I feel like the way that I'm like, how people see it, like, oh, like you're so consumed, but it's really just my way, like, of, I guess, like me kind of like, I'm cheering, you know, like I'm cheering for them. Yeah. Like, I'm rooting for them, but
yeah.
I don't really, well, actually, I don't feel like I'm like super consumed like at this point, because I really actually have a boundaries for it too. So what I enjoy is that now actually my bond with my sisters are much like more stronger, because we have now a shared interest like with them. And it's super interesting because we get the same thing. Like my eldest sister, which is like super, super interesting. She never fangirled on anything. You know, maybe Backstreet Boys back in her days.
Yeah.
But when she got into this group, like she was saying the same thing. Like she, you know, she has a family now, but she says like it's very healing for her too. Like the way that they're talking about how you should take care of yourself. How one of the biggest message that they always have is like you should be doing things that makes you happy, no matter what. Yeah. Like, you know, whatever job you're taking, whatever, like just make time, because like that's what's gonna keep you going here. And like even her, you know, her, like she's a wife now and like has a kid and stuff, and then she says like really reflected on that and how it changed her, and for my, you know, youngest sister. And yeah, I feel like, I don't know what you're asking, like are you saying like not to be so consumed in what way?
Oh no, I don't care.
Because I feel like
I don't care what other people do.
Yeah, because like, I feel like we all get consumed in different ways. So I don't know, like, are you kind of like just worried about like, oh, like it's going to take a lot of my time and it's all about them now. But for me, I know a lot of the posts that I have in my Instagram are them. It's because my reason for that is because a lot of my work is already, yeah, like I'm on screen, I'm doing projects, I'm doing this. My personal Instagram has become a space where I can just enjoy like
what absolutely. I like.
So I feel like people had to transition to that part too. That's why actually I made a different account for the studio, so then I can have that, you know, because I wanted to keep my personal, because for a while my personal account felt like people expect me to, you know, like be very outspoken about the works that I do there. But I reflected on it and I figured out that I want to keep that space for just like my pleasure and like things that absolutely. Make me happy. And so, you know, like that's why there's a lot of that content. And like, I'm gonna use the other accounts to just show more of like what I did stuff. So
I love it.
I answered your question, but
that's okay.
Yeah.
I've learned something. Yeah, I think I think I asked that because it's like the people, like, I guess I don't know people who like medium enjoy K-pop, like, you know, I either see their diehard fans of any group. It could be like, it doesn't have to be BTS, like any group in general, or they're like indifferent. And so I was like curious, you know, if there's like, is there a middle ground or are we all in here? And if that's, you know, whatever people do is fine. But that's why I was curious.
Yeah.
My second question is, you already mentioned this a little bit, but I want to hear more about your studio, the projects that you're taking on. Like, what are the top three things that your business is going to be focusing on, I guess, the rest of the year or next year? Like, what is the vision for you right now? Yeah.
So like, Because like my goal is to just like,
because this is a podcast,
like have it out there, and then like it's kind of like the same for you, where let's see where this is going. But I'm definitely because yeah, this podcast is going to be out by August, like the first season. And so yeah, love for it. The studio, I guess like the vision really is, I've always had this in my head where I really like want to build my own team and like really have, well, first of all, like I have a space, because right now, you know, it's all digital and stuff, and I've always kind of envisioned myself, yeah, like having, you know, I guess like, yeah, a proper studio, like that's my office. Yeah. And then, you know, I go in there, I have like this team of creatives and educators, like projects are coming in. I don't know, like it's just like it excites me. So, you know, that's like the long-term vision for that. But right now I'm really focusing on growing the community first, like especially here, because I feel like I already have a good number of people in community outside. Like guys and, you know, like everyone that I'm working with. But I don't feel like I have that here yet. There's a lot of creative groups and communities here, which are absolutely, like a lot of my friends too are doing the same thing, but I want to build a certain community where it's, yeah, like that's just like aligned with me so we can all work together. But because it's weird that I feel like I'm part of that creative community here and yet, like,
yeah,
where is that proper?
That's interesting.
Like group, because a lot of friends are creatives, but they already have their, like, you know, like squad, you know, you would say.
I see.
But for me here, it's great that I can, you know, that I'm connected to all these people, but I feel like my community, like the things that, you know, like I value, or the projects that I want to work with, just like I want to build that for myself here, and also just, yeah, like support other creatives to actually the people, you know, like Luis, who worked with the book. Amazing. And then, you know, the designer that I worked with my website. Like these are what I'm finding out about, you know, like hiring these people. These are creatives that doesn't have, I mean, Luis have a platform, but like is not like very much out there. A lot of the friends that I have are like actually like they're ready. Like when you go on a certain like event and people know people already. To kind of bring forth more, you know, like of these people's work. And as far as like projects, definitely like this podcast, you know, like this is more personal, so not, you know, something that I'll earn from. And then I'm aiming to, after like, you know, doing this podcast, is also have my book out there as well. So these are more personal, but I definitely want to work more actually on the projects that I want to work more for the studio is actually like books, now that I really enjoyed the process that we did. So I'm envisioning, I'm kind of manifesting more people to work with books, and definitely work on a like film. I don't know how that looks, what that means, but
yeah.
Just coming back to the roots of, you know, filmmaking and just going out there, and a lot about storytelling really. So I'm just kind of experimenting, how else can I do that? You know, there's the podcast, there's the book, and then, you know, there's the filmmaking. Also, one of the projects I'm excited about is like a photo, you know, like a magazine. So this is more visual storytelling at this point. Yeah. So I'm talking, you know, with this creative director. We're kind of like thinking what projects we can do with photo shoot, because I did my own photo shoot too for the studio and found joy in just like the whole process of that, how everyone's just like sharing their gifts. It's still all over the place, but definitely wanting to grow the community first, and just taking in more projects that has to do with storytelling, no matter what medium it is, just to like really create more.
I love it. So excited.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for all the stories that you get to help folks. Yeah. birth into the world.
But yeah, like again, like for the studio, like I even you know, like vision, you know, with the space that I have, like facilitating, you know, workshops and different things, really. So, you know, like glad to have you.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Yes.
And you're gonna be closer, so you're gonna be more accessible at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes. I know the space that I envision too is like, it's a cafe, but workshop space. And if I can have a whole like multi-story, like townhouse situation, right? That's common in Thailand. And like maybe one of the studios is also like a dance studio. So you can have your sensual dance, pole dance workshops. And I'm like, this whole space, I want it to like be all about sex positive Asian auntie. Like it's her home, you know? Yeah. One day we'll get there.
how much do we need?
Yeah, I know. How much do we need to make this happen? I can't wait for your space.
Yeah, and me too, for you. Thank you so much for sharing all of these things with me.
Once again, that's been Jada, and I hope you all enjoyed our fifth and last episode for season one of Just Checking In. I definitely had an amazing time checking in with my friends and learning about where their heads and hearts at currently during these times. I know it's been a mix of chats about love and relationships for this season, as we went from dating, feeling lonely, exploring self-love, friendships, and life transitions all at once. So I would really love to know what you guys think. Follow me on at Morishastani Studio for updates, and please feel free to share your feelings and thoughts about this season. I will be back for season two for sure very soon to check in with more folks, and I'm excited what stories we'll be tapping on that season. So make sure you tune in. Be well, everyone.